live generously? What is God calling us to be about as a church? And so I wanted to do this for three reasons. One is just to remind ourselves of what we're to be about as Christians. What does God actually call us to do as followers of Christ? What does God call us to be about as a church, as a community, as a people? So we need to continually remind ourselves what we're doing. You guys ever do that? You're like, hey, we're kind of going through the motions. We're doing life. We're doing these things. Like, why are we doing this anyway? Why are we setting all these carpets out? Why are we setting these chairs up? Why do we, oh, sound doesn't work again. Like, why do we do this? Why do we fight and battle to be in community with other people? Just to remind ourselves about what we're to be about as Christians. And there's this call to love God and to love people, to serve God and to serve people that we'll dive into. So just remind ourselves. Hey, what we're doing matters. The second thing I want it to be is an encouragement. So when we talk about living lives of contribution and lives of serving and lives of generosity, that's not a critique of Crosspoint. Oh, like we really need to grow in this area. I want it to be an encouragement for, we moved down here 9 years ago, and God has just been faithful to use his body, to use his people, to encourage, to build up, to help people know Christ, to help people follow Christ. And so I want it to be an encouragement that like, hey, God is at work. God is doing these things in and through you. And then the last piece, I hope it's an invitation. While we all are living generously and serving, there's an opportunity for us all to grow. What is God calling us to be about as a church? What is God calling us individually to be about, to point others to Jesus? And so for the next 3 weeks, we'll dive into what does that look like? What is God calling us to do? And so as Karina mentioned, we'll start with this week, like, we'll just call this the head, like, know the call. Know what God is calling us to as a church. What the Bible tells us what we're to be about as Christians. And we'll see in Ephesians 4, it says that he gave the leaders to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, for building others up, for helping them to know and follow Christ. And then next week, we may all know that. God calls us to love him. God calls us to serve him. But the propensity of our hearts and the culture that we live in can want to make things about ourselves, about how can we be served, what do we need. And so the second week we want to look like, what does it look like to cultivate our hearts? How do we cultivate a desire for serving others? We'll also talk kind of at a cultural level. We live in a culture, we live in a world of consumption, right? What does everybody want you to do? Consume more, attain more, whether it's more technology, more social media, more material things, whatever it is, there is a call, there is a desire to consume more. But God designed us to contribute, to create. We're made for more than just consuming. And then the last week, we'll look at our hands. Like, how has God made you? How has God wired you? Where has God placed you? What has God called you to do? How are you gifted? How are you wired? What are you passionate about? How could God use your time and your talent and your treasure to point others and point this community to Jesus? So that's where we're going. We're going to do head today, like our heart, cultivate our hearts next week. And then what does it look like to live lives of contribution? Next week, I'm super excited for this week. We have our friends Andrea and Mackenzie in from Italy who, as I'm preaching all of this today, they're doing a phenomenal job as church planters in Italy of living this out, of fleshing this out. So at the end of the sermon, they're going to come and share. And if you guys have been around Crosspoint the past, you guys come in every year, every other year, every 3 years. Has it been 3 years? Oh my. That does go fast. So 3 years ago. They were here. I thought it was two. Anyway, so they're going to share at the end of the service about ways that God is working in and through them as church planters in Italy. But what the scriptures reveal for all of us is that we all have a role to play. We all have a part to play in pointing our community to Jesus. And we have a role to play through telling the good news of the gospel. As Karina said, that's where it starts. that Jesus came for us, that he died for us, that he resurrected, and he is bringing new life in and through his Spirit. We have this good news to tell, but then we're also called to be generous and to do good. The time and the talent and the treasure we all have are not just given to us for our own benefit, although God says he's given us good gifts to enjoy, but they're given us for the good and the benefit of our neighbors. And what 1 Timothy said is that when we live generously, it says that we experience that which is truly life. So he's like, hey, if you're going after life, if you want something that is good, if you want a life that is fulfilling, do this. 1 Timothy 6:18-19 says, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. He said, if you want a good life, if you want a life that has meaning and purpose and value, if you want to have joy, do good, be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share. And again, we'll get into this in week two, but the challenge becomes we live in a culture, we live in a particular time, we live in a particular place that says true life doesn't come through sacrifice and being generous and doing good, but through grasping and consuming things that will never ultimately satisfy. Again, he's given us things that are good to enjoy, but it's never enough. And that's why there's kind of this grasping and desire for more. And so today we'll look at this call to live generously, what that actually is. Let me read Ephesians 4:11-13, and then we'll dive into it. Again, page 1161. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. At the core, this is what Jesus has given the church to do. And what you'll see in this passage, it sort of builds on itself. It starts with that God gave. And it says that he gave these leaders to equip the saints. And it says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. So it all starts with God, and it results in people knowing and growing more and more into his image. He says, this is how you are to do this. This is what you are to be about. But at Crosspoint and at any church you go to, it should always start with God. It's God who gave. We have a generous God. Verse 11 says that he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. If you go up a little bit in verse 7, it says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 8 says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of heaven. It says that he gave gifts to men. If you go back, even as we'll look in 3 weeks to Genesis 1, it is all about God giving. It says that he created the heavens and the earth and he filled them and he gave us the plants and the animals. And it says that he gave them to man. He gave them to enjoy. And ultimately, we see where the Bible comes after man rebels and turns against God, that God sends this rescue mission, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall have life. And so if we're going to talk about being generous and living generously, we got to start with how generous God is. The first and primary step to being a generous person and to live lives of contribution is to know the generosity and the goodness of God. How generous we are is a direct correlation or relation to how generous we think God is. How much we know God, how much we trust God, that he is going to be generous and give us good things. James 1 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. When we understand that everything that we have, even if you acknowledge God or don't acknowledge God, everything that you have is a gift from God. It says that he makes it rain on the righteous and unrighteous. That means he gives breath to people who don't even acknowledge him or believe him or actually against him. That's how generous he is. He gives
everything.
And when we start there, that we have a generous God, and we know the extent of his generosity, that he went as far as to send his son, to give us his son, to allow his son to die, to bring us life. When we know that he will give us his only son, we know that he will provide all things for us. And that frees us to be generous. Because we know God is good, that he is a generous God. So before we talk about anything that we do or anything that we give or our generosity, you always want to start with God's generosity, God's goodness. And so it starts with he gave, and it says that he gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and teachers. He says he gave these leaders to equip the saints. At the core, this is saying that he gave leaders to equip the saints, to equip the church, to do the work of building other people up. Now, if you're like into theology and you're into reading a lot of things, you can go like in a deep, dark rabbit hole on what does he mean and who are the apostles and who are the prophets and who are the evangelists and who are the shepherds and who are the teachers. And all that's important. And we can have a talk about it anytime you want. But that's not what I want to talk about right now. What I want to talk about and what a primary point that Brian Chappell in one of his commentaries talked about is the emphasis that he gave a variety of gifts. One of the things that he's doing by saying that there's the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and teachers is he's saying that he's gifted everybody differently. And if he's saying that there's a different type of leaders and all leaders are gifted differently, it means that all people are gifted differently. We all have gifts. And they're all unique, and they're all distinct, and we all have a variety of them. All people are gifted differently, which sounds really good, but if you've ever been a part of a church, or maybe you've been a part of a group at work where everybody has different views and different opinions, it can get pretty irritating, correct? Why? Because people with different gifts and different passions think different things are important. They value different things. And they can all be good things. They're just different because that's what they're gifted in. That's what they're wired for. A very simple example, and I was actually having a great conversation Friday night at the little beach meetup. We are in the process of building a more permanent facility. And you want to get different gifts and different passions, just talk about like what you think a church building should be. And I happen to be talking to somebody who is very artistic, very into beauty, very into stained glass. And I agree with all those things. I was like, and there's even when I was in seminary, there was a paper that you could write. Should the church be the most expensive and the most beautiful building in the city? Because it's for God, it's from God, it's from him. Or should you not spend any money and it should be the most minimal building in the city so you can utilize the money for the real work of sending out and making changes? And there's different opinions on that. So I'm not talking to somebody about a building on beauty and which again I love, I value, and it exalts. We went to stop by Duke on our drive home from North Carolina, and going to that chapel, they had a guy that was just changing, like his only job was restoring the stained glass. They're like, oh yeah, that window is gone. And he was removing it while we were there. And they were flying it to Michigan for him to, that was his full-time job for 5 years, to restore the stained glass in this thing. This place was, Will uses the word majestical. It was majestical. It was like, it made you like, oh gosh, there is a God, just by walking into the thing, right? So beauty is important. Then you talk to somebody, we are moving into a neighborhood. It is historically been one of the lower socioeconomic neighborhoods of Jupiter. There's a lot of needs. It's right next to the Edna Runner Center where we serve after school programs and kids that have needs. And we've got a great partnership with them and we hope to extend that. As I talked to Travis and the folks at Edna Runner, they're like, hey, we just need open space. We need space that, like, hey, when it's raining, the kids can run around and they can. I'm like, yeah, amen. Like, I don't want this building sitting here just one day a week we use it and then nothing's happening the other six days a week. I want it to be used to be placed. Like, okay, like, y'all have fancy stuff and then you have little kids come over. What happens to your fancy stuff? Like, that doesn't go together, right? Is having a place that people can use 6 days a week important? Like, yes. Those are different emphasis. Those are a different importance. And so, but we need it all. Because God calls us to be all those things. Does that make sense? So when you have different people who have different passions and different gifts, it's beautiful. Because that's the only way we're going to reflect Jesus. Jesus somehow pulled all this stuff off. Right? But it can be irritating. It can be challenging. But what he is making the point is that he gave a variety of gifts. Everybody is gifted differently. And everybody's gifts are needed. You need the person that's passionate about mercy. You need the person that's passionate about beauty and the arts and the culture. You need the person that's passionate about the proclamation of the word and the holiness of God, right? It just doesn't always seem like those things all go together. But they do, because Jesus calls us to be about those things, right? So we all have gifts. We are all gifted in different ways. And he says he gives all these gifts to build up. He says he gave the leaders to equip. And that word equip is kind of a rare word. It's only used here, actually, I think in the whole New Testament. It means to train, to instruct. It has the idea of the notion of equipping or preparing in the sense of making someone adequate or sufficient for something. So the role of the church, the role that we're supposed to do for one another, is to help build one another up, to equip the church to do something, to do the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And so that's what we're doing. Paul's going to equip us in 3 weeks to better understand the place we find ourselves. He's better equip us to understand how God designed us as humans and what we're supposed to be about and what he created us to do. That's what we're supposed to be about. And we all need to be equipped because we all have a role to play. We all have a call that God has given us. But the point he's driving at is he gave leaders to prepare everyone to do the work of ministry. It isn't just from like some people that, oh yeah, we pay them for that. And they kind of do everything. And then we come in and just kind of consume what they produce. Eugene Peterson has a very, I think, challenging quote for our culture that I will read next week on about how the church can fall into this consumption mentality. If we live in a consumer culture that people want to just consume stuff, the quickest way for the church to grow and be effective is just give people good things to consume. Give people what they want. What's harder, what's more difficult, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to help people grow and understand who they are and how God has wired them and God has made them and where they live. That's the call. So it's not just a few people doing a bunch of things. It's everybody doing some things. Romans 12:6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace that was given to us, let us use them. God has gifted everybody. He's gifted you with gifts. We all have a role to play. We'll talk more about that in week 3. Knowing how God has gifted you, where God has placed you. So he gives the church to equip the saints. It says in verse 12b, for the work of ministry. The word work, it describes like an ongoing activity. The word work is the same kind of word as service. It's equip people to serve, to live lives of service, a life of service of God and of others. Jesus kind of summed up what Christians are supposed to be about, what we're called to do. So what are the greatest commandments? Love God and love people. Serve God, serve people. It's all driving at the same thing. What's the work of ministry? Serving God, serving people. Over 25 times in the New Testament, it refers to kind of this idea of the work of ministry, or the work of service. So it's more just than just some like church job that you get. I'm going to lay out the carpets, although that's a work of service. But what does that do? You lay out a carpet, you put on a chair. Why? So somebody can sit in the chair and hear the word of God and sing praise to God and participate in communion and experience the presence of God. It's for something else. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I love that it said, abounding in the work, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It shows if you're always abounding in the work of the Lord, that whatever you do can be the work of the Lord. So I don't care if you're just serving at church, or you're serving in your home, or you're serving at your workplace, or you're serving on the sports team, or you're serving, like, wherever you are, it's an opportunity to do the work of ministry, the work of the Lord. Why? Because it's an opportunity to worship God and serve people. So it's less about, again, I need to know exactly what God has called me to do, like what job to take. It's like, no, like whatever job you take, whatever job you happen to find yourself in, it's an opportunity to serve God and serve people. And a helpful, to get a little bit more on the ground, a little bit more practical, I hope. Tim Keller has a book called Center Church, and he talks about four ministry fronts, or four avenues that we can do the work of ministry. And one of them is that the church is called to do is helping people to connect to God. That's one of the works that he has given the church to do. That is one ministry. We see this in ways of evangelism, or when we gather together. It's an opportunity to connect with God. He talks about that we can that we're called to help people connect to one another. There's an aspect of they've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It says to the fellowship in Acts 2, that you're called to be a part of a community, to help make disciples, to help people know and follow Jesus, to encourage and build one another up. We're encouraged and called to connect people. The next thing he talks about is a ministry front is you're called to connect to the community. This is more of where the Bible talks about mercy and justice. Where's their brokenness? Where are things not right in the place that God has placed you? And what is the church, as in the people, doing to combat that? To bring life and to bring flourishing where there is no life, where there is no flourishing. We're called to connect to the community that God has placed us. We did a series back in January on Jeremiah 29. It says, seek the welfare of the city where I have placed you. Pray for it on my behalf. And it's welfare, you will find welfare. It's seeking the good of the place that I have placed you. And another aspect of kind of the place you find it is the culture you find yourself in. How are you connecting people? How are we as a church connecting to the culture, the place that God has placed us? How are we integrating our faith into the work that God has given us? How are we integrating our faith into the arts that are around us? How are we integrating? I think this is a huge one for Jupiter. How are we integrating our faith into the hobbies we have? When I lived in Orlando, I asked people, hey, where are you from? Nobody was from there. Right? Then I moved here. I started kind of asking that question. And they were like, well, I'm from here, man. I was like, okay. So I had more people from Jupiter in my first year here than I did in 10 years of living in Orlando. So I need a better question. So I'm like, hey, what do you do? What are you into? Right? And if they're single, they have like 8 hobbies. Right? And then if they're like married with no kids, that kind of goes down to like 4 or 5. And then once you have kids, you're like, man, I don't know. I'm just trying to keep them alive. Right? I'll get back to my hobbies in about 5 years when they can like walk and eat on their own. Right? And then you get like your one or two hobbies. But as Christians, as followers of Christ, how are we engaging the cultures of this place? And the culture of this place is it's hobbies, it's outdoor, it's ordered, creation. Super excited to hear from Andrea McKenzie. They've done a phenomenal job of this in Italy. And so these are different opportunities to do the work of ministry. It's helping people connect to God, whether they're Christians or not Christians. They're Christians. We need the same thing. We need to connect to God. We need to connect to one another. You talk about like just the kind of COVID generation. Younger people are just alone and isolated. Need to connect with one another. The church needs to be known for what it's doing in the community. How are we making this a better place? That's why I know we go wash buses once a month at Edna Runner, but it's more than washing buses. I was shocked when Travis came here. It saves them $6,000 a year. Like, that helps, right? But also, the kids have a clean bus. Like, I do a lot better on my bus. My car is clean. Sometimes it feels like a bus. Like, you just throw all the junk in the back and just go. Right? But it's more than that. It's developing relationships and people who are serving this community, and we're serving them. Where has God placed you? 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of service. There are a variety of works, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is the manifestation of the Spirit," it says, "for the common good." God has gifted all of us in particular ways. He's all placed us around particular people. He's put us in a particular place in order to do the work of ministry, in order to love and serve others. That's why we're here. And so we need to ask, like God asked it to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, where are you? Like, where has God placed you? What season are you in? Where are you going? How might God use you where you are for the work of ministry? We'll close with this. The work of ministry is in verse 12. It says, For the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's for building up the body of Christ. And it's talking about two things. And sometimes we think the church, these are against one another, but they're not. But he's talking about growing in both breadth and depth. In breadth, he's talking, it's like building language. He's building a building, a kingdom. It says like the waters cover the earth. Adam and Eve were supposed to spread Eden. The book of Acts is supposed to be from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. The kingdom of God, it grows, it expands, it goes out. I happened to be, as I was looking for some resources for this sermon, I stumbled back upon a graphic that I had used like 5 years ago. And it's all the different locations that we've had as a church. And so the first location, I think there's a slide that says Crosspoint. This church started in Orlando. This was the sending of us out. We helped plant the church in Orlando. Our family was down here. Circumstances, we moved to Jupiter. But this was Crosspoint Winter Park and sending Karina and I to go do the work of ministry, to go establish a worshiping community. And it was the five of us. That's the first day in our new house, right? And we came here to establish a church, to plant a church. Thankfully, we had Lexi and my brother-in-law Scotty and their families and my mother-in-law Bibi, and we started with that. Right? And then it was a small group of people that fall that just gathered for a Bible study. Hey, what does it look like to be a church in this area? And then that winter we met at Carlin Park under a pavilion and thought, hey, what does it look like to establish a church here? And we were gathering around the word and we were saying, what does it look like to grow together? Turtle River Monastery School. And then we met here at JCS. And then we met at the Media Center in JCS. And we can go forward to the next slide. We met at the East Campus of JCS. And then COVID hit. We met outside at the East Campus of JCS. And then that was last week. It's a building. And all through these years, God has brought different people with different gifts at different times for people to know Christ. And there's been countless baptisms and people learning and growing and finding hope in Christ in and through this community. He's at work in through it, all of it. Then the next slide, there's going to be a next season of Crosspoint that we're going to have a more permanent facility, a more permanent presence. And why is that important to us? Because it helps us stay here longer. I was talking to Andrea McKenzie and just the call where God sends you to particular places. Like sometimes you just need to be in a place for a long period of time. And God works, as Eugene Peterson talks about, like that long obedience in the same direction. And in a more permanent facility, can we keep doing what we're doing here? Like 100%, sure, that's great. Will that help us help more people know Jesus and follow Jesus and grow in the image of Jesus? Like, yes, it will be a tool for that in this place. So there's this call to continue to grow, to establish, to develop. and help people know Jesus. It's a numerical thing. But also, more importantly for the church, there's a depth that God wants us to grow spiritually, to grow more and more into the image of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith, it says, in the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's a growth in depth that we're called to grow spiritually, that we're called to be transformed into the image of Christ, to become more like Christ and help others to become more like Christ. We all have a role to play in that. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as we all with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord, it says, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The mission of this church is to point our community to Jesus. And whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, the answer is the same thing. We need to fix our eyes on him. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And as we gaze upon Jesus and his love for us and his sacrifice for us and his generosity towards us through giving his life, it transforms us. It changes us to what? To be generous, to contribute, to sacrifice for the good of others so that they might know and follow Jesus. This is a little thing from our partnership manual. And what we're talking here was stewardship. It says to steward something is to realize that it is not yours, but has been given to you by God to use for the benefit of others. And so as the gospel works in us, we get the opportunity to have the gospel work through us to experience the joy that comes from living a lifestyle of contribution. So the call is to fix our eyes on Jesus and know his love, know his sacrifice for us, his transformation of us, and we help bring transformation to others. And so I am going to invite...